Yeah, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends, talking sport for your Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us. Good morning, guys.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Emma.
I'm happy to be back. Of course, I was off last week. You had Sammy Groth in here. Great show. He did a fantastic job. I love the chemistry. But
did you listen?
Not really.
You just tried to weed down our back and tell us it's raining. Then you just made that up.
I had to live in the moment up there in Byron Bay. So a couple of swims, good time with the kids, nice wedding up there. But I'm back. I'm refreshed. And I'm ready for another big footy.
By the way, though, it actually was quite nice with Sammy Groth, wasn't it? I thought he filled the spot beautifully, actually. He just slipped straight in and enjoyed his company, actually. Yeah, Jay, so better lift your game this morning.
Hey, you had a nice event during the week, Joey, the St Kilda Hall of Fame on Thursday night, catching up with many old teammates. How was it?
I did, Emma. It was a nice stroll down memory lane on Thursday night. All the past players all got together to celebrate the careers of four champions that are now inducted in the Hall of Fame at St Kilda: Spider Everett, Maxie Hudgston, Lenny Hayes and Stephen Milne. And it was great to see so many former teammates there. And it was the first time, probably since I've retired, I've really missed football. It was one of those ones you just reminisce on how good of a team that we actually had, but not so much on the field. It was more as much off the field and the fun that we had, the banter, the friendships and all the things that you go through. Because I think people sometimes don't understand, as footy players, they're almost like your family. You go through so many highs and lows together. You see teammates cry. You experience all these things together that it really is. It is sort of hard when you finish up and move on. But it was a very special night.
Can I ask you about Milne? I mean, he's one guy to me who I think is probably underestimated outside of St Kilda, maybe because the tip rat was a little bit unpopular. Yeah. He's a bit of an agitator, but
absolutely,
his forward craft. I mean, he if he's not one of the two or three best small forwards of the past 20 years, I'll go he. Do you think we appreciate how good he was?
Oh, I think even just to say in the past 20 years, he's underestimating Milne. The stat that came out from the night was really on the all-time goals list in the history of the game. Milne sits third as a genuine small forward. And the only two names above him were Lee Matthews and Kevin Bartlett. They're pretty handy. And you could even argue Kevin Bartlett and Lee Matthews played as a rover, as midfielders for a lot of their career as well. But as a genuine small forward, I think Eddie Betts is probably the equal of Milne, and he'll go past Milne this year for the goals. But the small forward craft, I don't think there's been anyone in the history of the game better than Milne. His ability to crumb the ball front and square, the way that he could kick some goals. It was funny. There's a highlights clip they've posted on YouTube of Stephen Milne's career. It literally is a 3-hour highlight package.
Oh, wow.
That's no joke. 3-hour highlight package of one player's career.
How long was yours, Joey?
Not quite that long.
Jeez, you've got to be bored, though, to take in 3 hours.
Even Milne said that as part of his acceptance speech. He said, I'm only 2 hours in and I've already he hasn't even sat through the full 3 hours. But it was a great night and great recognition for four champions.
He's a good fella.
You mentioned Eddie Betts. If you haven't caught the highlights of last night's JLT game, one of the great preseason competition goals. He's going great guns. Also last night, if you wanted to catch up on the cricket, Usman Khawaja. I found this staggering this morning. I went to bed before the one day I was finished because I'm not staying on the line to watch one day cricket. His first ever one day international ton last night. Mm. I thought he'd made more than that in, 70 odd appearances for Australia, probably in one day.
And that's probably been the knock, hasn't it? Because he looks good for 30, looks very good for 40 runs, and then has found ways to go out. So if he can establish himself and score more, big knocks, Joey, then he's probably, not our best batsman, but certainly after Warner and Smith, that's his spot. If he can go on and make some runs.
And our boy Finchie back in form too. He made 94, unfortunately. Didn't quite get his 100, Finchie. He was at LBW, but he was back in form and we beat India last night. So good signs heading into the World Cup later in the year.
Even though Virat Kohli made, I think, a very easy 124.
Yeah, he does that. He does eats that for breakfast.
Absolutely incredible. Hey, coming up today, Christian Welsh from the Melbourne Storm to join us ahead of the NRL season opener on Thursday. As I'm sure you've seen, another big week in rugby league. We'll talk about that. It's also time to put some things on the line with some big calls for the 2019 AFL season. We're going to name our winners and losers for the year ahead. Something's got to be at stake, and I've had a preview of some of yours. Mm-hmm. Some of them are terrific, guys. Some of them, you have absolutely lost the plot.
Can't wait for this. Looking forward to your big call, Jay-Z. Yep. You've got the journalist hat on you. I'm sure you've got the big headline ready for a big call. And I've got my own big call that could stir some feathers. But we'll chat all things with the footy season coming up very shortly. Let's start getting into all the previewing of our tips and all the things football.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Hey, after beating out Sydney in the NBL playoffs, Melbourne United are now hunting for the NBL title. The grand final series opened last night. Unfortunately, with the Wildcats taking the first game in Perth. There's really only one guy, though, that we can talk to give us the roundup, and that's Corey Homicide Williams, who comes on the show right now to tell us what happened in Perth last night. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're going great.
Homicide, what on earth happened last night, mate? United just didn't take care of the ball, especially in the first half. What do they need to be working on to win tomorrow?
Well, you hit the nail on the coffin. You know, basically they buried themselves. You know, they had 16 turnovers, a lot about six missed free throws, offensive rebounds. They got killed. They had about 13. They gave up. They just weren't sharp enough for four quarters. In the first half, they were sharp. But in the second half, when they needed to be, you know, they just weren't. And as a result of that, Perth Wildcats go on a 31-14 run and opens up the game. They start feeling confident and start knocking down big shots. And credit to them, it shut Bryce Cotton down, but everybody else stepped up. They had five people in double figures, and that's what it takes to win a grand final.
Homicide, before the game last night, you tipped Melbourne United to win in four. Perth are obviously now in the box seat, one up. Are you still sticking with United in four, or has last night changed your view on who can win the championship?
Last night changed the view. It won't be four. This is a game. This is a series that's going to go down to the wire. I thought with the form that Melbourne United would be coming into the grand finals with, that there would be a huge chance they would get game one. But obviously that did not happen. You definitely cannot discount the defending champions. At the end of the day, all the Wildcats did was win on their home court like they were supposed to. So tomorrow, I'm sure Dean Bickerman and I have his troops ready. They'll make adjustments and they'll be ready to go.
We're speaking to Corey Homicide Williams, still over there in Perth. Nice and early for you this morning, it's fair to say, 7 a.m.
No, I took the red eye.
Oh, you're good on you, mate. You're back.
Excellent. No one likes the red eye, let's be honest. But tell us about your beef with the Wildcats. I mean, have you received any messages from the Perth crew? Because it's fair to say you've done a good job of winding up the Perth mob over the first couple of years. Have they been hanging it back on you, mate? Or what's the phone been like?
Oh, they cannot wait to hang it on me. They hang it on me every chance they get. That's why I give it to them every chance I get. So it's a love-hate but respectful relationship that we have. And I think it's good for the game.
One of the things you can give them hate about at the moment is their beards. So you've heard about the Wildcats tradition. As soon as the season ends, they all have to stop shaving and grow beards, especially for the finals series. They were awful last night. I've seen photos of them. They're all disgusting.
Huh? Yeah, they're looking real crazy. But, you know, tradition is tradition. It was carried on and, you know, uphold tradition, and they're doing that. So I'm sure they can't wait for finals to be over, but I know they want haircuts.
Homicide, there's been a bit of talk about Josh Byrne. His form's been up and down this season. What do you see his future at Melbourne United?
Well, right now, you know, he came to this team and they won a grand final last year. He was first team All-NBL this year. He was second team All-NBL in the grand finals. So, you know, this is this sport. You know, you're not at some place forever, for the duration of your career, you know. So when you're there, all you can do is do your best, leave with your head up high, and know that the fact when you left the situation, you did everything you could have possibly done. He's focused on his job and performing and getting another championship. So that's where his focus is right now.
Do you think, Homicide, he could get to the NBA? We've seen now Andrew Bogut is going to take a 10-day contract, I think, to go back to the Golden State Warriors. You could argue Josh Boone is just as good a player as Andrew Bogut. How have you seen that Bogut decision by Golden State to take him? And do you think Boone is the equal or better of Bogut?
Well, all banter and all trash talk aside, Josh Boone is a completely different player than Andrew Bogut. This season, Josh Boone was able to neutralize Andrew Bogut in that matchup, in that specific situation. Now, Andrew Bogut the Bogut effect is what I call it, is the fact that he took a team from the cellar to the penthouse.
Mm.
Because of him, he was able to have every team get a legitimate center to play against him. He led the league in blocks. He led the league in rebounds. He led the league in double-doubles. He led the league defensively because of him. They were legitimate championship contenders. Now, he played 13 years in the NBA for a reason. He came back home, and due to, you know, a mixture of family issues, he left the NBA. He had to come home. Okay. He left the NBA, joined the NBL. He had no idea he was going to have a chance to go back to the NBA. He had a hell of a season, and as a result of that, he gets MVP of the league and gets a contract offer from the Golden State Warriors. It's an amazing thing because the way that his season went, he got rewarded. Outside of finals, he got rewarded for his play. So he's going back to the NBA playing better than he left it. Now that turns him into a legitimate advocate for the NBL because he played in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great story, Andrew Bogut. Before we let you go, Homicide, we want to ask you one more small answer out of you here because you're an astute judge of basketball. There's a lot of debate this week with LeBron going past Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list.
Oh, I like this.
The debate that everyone has at the pubs, LeBron or Jordan, let's take it from the expert, the great in yourself. Who is the GOAT?
All right. For me, why do we play this game?
Huh? Win championships.
All right, then. Get I buckets. Ain't got to say no more.
For you, it's all about points, Jason. Answered it right there. Championships, it's still Michael Jordan. Yeah. Thank you, Homicide, for clearing that up.
In the pocket. Hey, thanks for joining us, mate. Really appreciate it. And let's hope that Melbourne can get one back over the Wildcats tomorrow afternoon in Melbourne.
Definitely. Number love, guys.
That was Corey Homicide Williams. How good's the voice earlier in the morning?
He was tired. He caught the red eye back. Everyone who's caught the red eye back from Perth knows it's a slow start to the morning. I think Corey was just waking up.
Now we appreciate him joining us. Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Hey, we're on a little bit later today. We're going to say due to popular demand.
Yes.
It's not really the case. after our broadcast, we'll finish at about 12:30 and then we'll head straight to some JLT action. Port Adelaide up against North Melbourne, the call team including Brenton Yates, Dale Lewis, Dom Cassisi and Rhett Biglands, and then AFLW from 7 tonight as well.
You're on that, Joey? You're
calling that tonight, okay. Melbourne and the Bulldogs.
Something really caught my eye this week. Gang, I like to stay on top of the sporting stuff from around the world, and a conversation popped up on my Twitter feed from the boss of the NBA, Adam Silver, and the Gun Journo reporter, commentator, Bill Simmons from Grantland, and the whole conversation with the NBA bosses was based on the research they did into the playing ranks, the superstars of the game, and Adam Silver said that basically this research found out that the bulk of the NBA players were actually very unhappy. Let's take a listen.
I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
Yeah.
This is not some, like, you know, show they're putting on for the media. When you get, you know, and you have relations with a lot of players. When I'm one-on-one with a lot of these guys, you know, I think to the outside world, they see the fame, the money, all the trappings that go with it. They're the best in the world at what they do. You know, they say, how is it possible? Like, they could even be complaining. And I hear this on television all the time. A lot of these young men are genuinely unhappy.
And I'll tell you why. It's basically because they go on these long travel stints where they're away from their families for 1 or 2 weeks at a time. They're playing 3 games in a week, an 82-game season. And he goes on to explain that basically with the technology, and this is what I was fascinated in, they've always got their headphones on, they're looking at social media, the game finishes, they're straight on their phones, you know, they're listening to their music, they're not enjoying that family time. There's no balance for these guys, even though, Joey, you know, they're getting paid $10-15 million a year in the big cases,
yep.
And some of the bigger players, you know, they're earning $100 million a year with all their endorsements, etc. Now, I've been hanging all week to ask you whether you think that is reflected or that is similar to AFL. Are the majority of AFL players unhappy, or is this a special case over there in the NBA?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation that can go for a lot more than 5 minutes, but I think, and I can't answer whether the majority are unhappy, but certainly there seems to be a lot a lot more anxiety and issues with players these days than when I first started. The transition from when I first started to when I finished, and there is a debate whether it's now just more freely spoken about, which it certainly is, and there are great people led by Wayne Schwoss doing great things to have the conversation a bit more public. But I also do wonder about the social media age and how big of an impact that is having on professional sports people, that now you are getting feedback from everywhere. You are getting feedback from the people sitting at home in their, on their couches, that can write whatever they want to say about you. All that sort of stuff, the perception with social media and the image you have to portray. I certainly think it is an issue. Absolutely. I think that there is a lot being done, but I still think there's a lot more being done. And you speak about the headphones and people on their phones. As I said, when I spoke earlier about the Hall of Fame and the great memories I had of being in the locker room and the banter, and we'd come off the track and everyone would have fun together. We'd talk to each other, tell stories. Mm. Towards the end of my career, I'd walk in after training and everyone would, first thing they'd do is grab their phone out of their locker and sit down and look at their phone. And you lost that connection, that bit of chemistry, that getting out of your own head and out of your own bubble and actually interacting with the world. So it is a great conversation. It's a really fascinating debate, and there's a lot of people that have some strong opinions.
You were saying before, Jay, a quote about where championships are won.
Yeah.
On the bus.
That's what Michael Jordan said. They get Adam Silver going to talk about that because they connected with other sort of generations. And he said, that's when championships are won. They're won on the bus, where, exactly as you say, Joey, when they're mucking around, when you've got the banter going, when you've got that chemistry and synergy. And I'm worried when I hear you say, you know, a team may have won the game and they go straight to the locker room and all the young blokes pull out their phones.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. And Michael Jordan's comments are spot on, because it's more that intangible thing you can't see on a basketball court or football field. Yeah. It's that bond that you have with your teammates is when you win championships or premierships, like the Western Bulldogs did or Richmond. And then you find out afterwards.
Band of brothers.
Your band of brothers. And you find out only these things after you win about what Richmond went through and the Western Bulldogs the year before. And, you know, I think it is becoming really important. And you wonder too, the new generation, even the resilience, are they getting bored up with that right resilience, the way that, you know, kids are treated a bit more these days growing up and even coming into football environments.
Yep.
It's a different environment. They're not sort of used to being in that conducive environment of dealing with issues.
Cotton wool.
Yeah, a little bit of that cotton wool factor where they don't know how to get themselves out of tough situations, because they haven't really trained it or been through it as much as maybe they used to in the old days.
Quick one on this, just finally. I wrote a story about 5 years ago when Alistair Clarkson, the Hawthorn coach, banned phones. They went to Sydney. They haven't won in Sydney for a while.
Yep.
And he banned their phones, and I think it was an issue for Sam Mitchell's family because they just had three kids.
Yeah.
You know, kids were like 3 months old or something like that, and that was an issue. Did that ever happen? Did Ross ever do that with you guys, like just take your phones away? Or do you think that would be a good idea, particularly on interstate trips?
I don't think you can do that these days. And I don't have Twitter and Facebook for those sorts of reasons. But a lot of players rely on that, Emma. They look at it every day. It's just they're almost brainwashed into looking at their feeds. And that, I think, is certainly not helpful in professional sporting environments if they want to try and get the best out of themselves.
I don't think it's helpful for anyone.
Anyone, yeah.
I mean, I'm off Twitter as well. I mean, I'm happy to hear feedback, but...
Yeah, from the right people. You want to hear people from the people that you want to hear them from.
You know, I want to be supported with and surrounded by people who support you and want you to be the best version of yourself, not just getting on Twitter to tear you down because it's a hobby of theirs behind a keyboard.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Let's talk a little bit of AFL because the JLT is still going, and some interesting results over the last couple of days.
Very early in the season. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet, Em. But Joey, I want to ask you about the Bombers, because I've spent the best part of the past 4 months pumping up the red and black machine out there at Tullamarine. I see Dylan Shiel goes up there. I see the success the recruits had up there, and I'm thinking they are not only going to make the top eight, but they're going to win a final for the first time since they beat Melbourne in 2004. But after losing to Carlton the first JLT game, they were pretty ordinary, I thought, against the Cats the other night. And in particular, I'm worried about this forward line, Joey, because I see Joey Danaher hasn't played for the best part of a year. He can't get a kick. Orazio Fantasia sort of really quiet. And I'm just wondering, for all that we pumped up about that midfield now with Dylan Shiel in it, do we think that we might have overhyped the Bombers?
No.
Joey?
No.
And do we
no.
think that Joey Danaher, is no. it because he spent so long out, Oh, look, I'm a little bit reluctant to say, but could he need some time in the VFL?
No!
What are you
to build
about?
His form and confidence?
Oh, seriously.
Well, I'm just wondering with a man who's not been in, you know, he spent so long
he
out
was
of the
poor
game.
Poor injured with osteitis pubis, wasn't it? Like, I mean, come on.
Come
maybe
on.
He needs to go down, take on Frankston and kick 12 goals and just get the mojo up a bit, Joey.
Let me settle every Essendon fan that nearly crashed their car just driving just then.
I'm literally
then.
Having heart
The two things that you don't ever do, you don't ever listen to any of the preseason training hype because everyone is flying, everyone's dominating, everyone is going to win a Brownlow, win a premiership. So you never listen to preseason.
Right.
And the second thing you never do is you never fall for JLT form.
Right.
Never get sucked into the form of JLT. It's completely irrelevant because.
So what would you?
I'll give you an example. 2009. Yep. I'm pretty sure it was 2009. I just tried to find, it, but I reckon
it's a decade ago.
Yeah, it was when I was back when I played. But we got pumped in our last practice match before, and then we went on and won 20 straight games. Emma, my point was we got pumped against it was Adelaide or Port Adelaide. We played over there. We got pumped.
Right.
Came out and won our first 20 games. You don't read anything in the JLT form
so
because guys are at different stages of their preparation. You're playing different teams.
You're
trying different things. You're experimental
really?
A little bit. You're trying to hone in on. What you've trained all pre-season. So you're honing in on your craft, but you're at a different stage of everything. I wouldn't ever read anything to JLT form. I'm still very confident Essendon will make the finals. I'm very confident Joe Danaher will have a good year.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it'll be his best year. You hope he's still got a lot of development. As he said, he missed a year last year. He's going to be a little bit slow and scratchy early. That is to be expected.
You're too harsh
to judge. You don't drive, take the Porsche. You play him in the seniors. You don't play him at VFL level. Joe Danaher will be fine. And Essendon will be fine. They'll play finals.
I think Robbo's top 50 is coming out this week. Would Joey Danaher be in your top 50? Like, seeing the best 50 players in the comp? Question without notice?
Yes, he is. But yes, he would be.
On current form, though?
Well, I think the whole idea of the top 50, you're predicting by the end of this year.
So
by the end of 2019, will Joe Danaher be in the best 50 players? He'd be around the mark. He'd be close.
I saw your old mate, BJ Goddard, great man, former Herald Sun columnist at the AFLPA event during the week. He won the Madden medal for his off-field contribution. He's studying personal development, all that sort of stuff. What's that little face?
That was an eye roll.
For his off-field, I think it was a lot of his golf. Was it?
The news came out, and he confirmed.
Got to work on that short game. I mean, come on,
you're on fire, Joey. The Carlton made a bit of a play for him after Tommy Bug retired. Was that a good move from the Blues? Do you think that he would help them this year? Whether it's his leadership experience and they're kicking off halfback, or were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised that just that Mace made the phone call and sounded him out. I think in the end they've made the right decision to go with a couple of younger boys. We've already seen Gibbons, our boy, Michael Gibbons.
Yep.
You had your eye on him at VFL level and we thought he deserved his chance and he's getting that now. So no, I think Carlton went the right way in the end by not taking BJ, but there's no issue with making a phone call and sounding out guys like that where they're at. But no, I've seen BJ and he's pretty comfortable post-retirement.
Well, I think it might have been the fact that he put on 10 kilos overseas that might have turned the Blues off. Just kidding, BJ.
He nearly
the other
nearly
night.
Did, yeah. Mate,
holy dude.
He's in absolutely outstanding shape. Hey, I think...
That's a lie.
I might just drop one of my first little big calls at the moment.
Oh, you're going to do it now?
I'm just going to touch on something. Yeah, man.
I thought your big call was Joe Danaher should play VFL.
Shut up, Joe.
That was a big call.
Hey, I think that GWS will lose one of Josh Kelly and Stephen Cornelio. And if you'd asked me around Christmas time, I would have thought that it would be Josh Kelly off to North Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you where my eyeballs are just sort of really zoning in on something. And that is that I think that Hawthorn are up to their necks in Stephen Cornelio. Right. They've already got Jager.
Boom. Dropped a bomb.
He's best mates with Jago Mira out there.
There's no GWS fans that listen to this show. There's not many in Melbourne.
No,
so
GWS.
You're right.
They're doing the drive off the road again.
Yeah, go for it.
Would it work, Joey? They've already got Jago Mira. We know they've got Tommy Mitchell.
Absolutely,
the Hawthorn
in a heartbeat.
Do we underestimate him?
Cornelio is an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
Absolute gun. Yeah, that's a great get if Hawthorn can lure him, and you wouldn't put it past Clarko to get anybody to that football club.
I think one of the two are going, Em, and I think it's going to be Kelly to North Melbourne or Cornelio to the Hawks. Be cool.
The mention of Jager O'Meara just conjured up images of you, Joey, down at the Sorrento Hotel I reckon recently.
Happen?
You haven't told this on air, but can we just
they had an ab off, I heard, in a Sorrento pub.
We've got very similar bodies, Jager O'Meara and myself, and we just compared rigs. Couldn't tell who was who. Just
that's a big call. That is a very big call. Hey, a big weekend in Melbourne next weekend with the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix 2019, March 14 to 17. It is It's such a great few days, isn't it? Just all the buzz around Albert Park, all the noise, all the hype, all the parties.
Yeah. All the celebrities.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're after.
Yeah. It's a spectacle, isn't it? Like, I think, you know, I'm not a huge F1 fan. It's like all the other stuff that I like to take in, you know. It's a social event. Yes, the cars are unbelievable. And it is awe-inspiring to how loud they are and the speed and the power and all that. But I think, you know, this event, maybe a bit like the races, you know, there's a few other bits and pieces, you know, you can mingle
off. You've got to do it once. I think you've got to go once at the Grand Prix. And if the people that have been, I'm sure have all got the same experience as us, they love it. And those that have never been, it's worth doing. There's no football on next weekend. If you've got the chance, go and spend a day at the Grand Prix because it is a fun event.
And it's great that we've got Dan Ricciardo to cheer for because if he's not one of Australia's most likable athletes at the moment, Joey, I'm not sure. But I just love his interviews.
I can't have a beer with him.
Yeah, he's so happy.
Absolutely. You do, don't you?
Compared to our tennis players, we've got someone like Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, here we go.
He represents. No, you're right, though. I agree. Daniel Ricciardo seems like a ripper. You'd love to have a beer with him.
What's his, your, tell it, you've got a bit of a Dan Ricciardo story. Did he just crash at your place one time?
Well,
Joey,
because I live literally around the corner from the track, and it is a nightmare for me this week because they block off all the sides. Streets and all the roads, and it's very hard to get a car parked out the front of my house. But
it'd be loud.
Yeah, it is loud. Yeah, you hear them at 7:30 in the
morning. Noah love it.
Yeah, I know. Wake Noah up. That'll be awesome. But a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from a manager group saying, would you be interested in renting your house out for the week for Grand Prix week? And I was like, well, not really. They said, well, and this is because maybe Daniel Ricciardo was looking for a house to stay in during the week. Normally they stay at hotels around the world, but he wanted to stay in a house with his family, his mum and dad, I believe, at the time.
In Perth?
And was looking for a house in Melbourne to rent for the week.
Your pad must be bloody good, Joey. No wonder you haven't invited us over.
Well, this is the point at the end of the story. So I said, well, Daniel Ricciardo, I had to convince Erin. She wasn't necessarily happy to have other people stay in our house for a week. But when I explained to her how much we might have been getting for the week,
I said,
darling, it's worth considering.
Lads,
I said, it's worth considering for a week, and she sort of came around to it. Anyway, we were a bit excited. Then in the end, we got a phone call. Sorry, he found a bigger and better house. So he didn't end up staying at my house, but it would have been pretty cool. But looking forward to Grand Prix week, and it's plenty happening.
Have you ever done that, Em? Have you ever rented out your place like Airbnb style?
I've Airbnb'd our house out before. We did it, we were away for like New Year's, so we rented it out for like a week.
Yep.
And look, I won't be doing it again. There was a few broken glasses. Oh. Like there was a few strange like ingredients in the pantry.
Right, a few photos missing or
holiday house would be different. But when it's your own home and it's all your own furniture and everything, it's
and you've got to lock up all your valuables then and put all it's a lot of work. I wasn't getting the money that old mate was getting.
A few mates and I stayed in Adelaide for the Adelaide test at the end of last year, and we stayed in a family home. And like I was sleeping in like a kid's room, like a 3-year-old's room. It's a bit weird. It was a bit weird. I don't think I could do it.
Go to the backpackers next time, maybe, hey?
Should have.
Yeah. The Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma talking sport for your Saturday morning. Coming up, we have got some big calls ahead of the AFL season. Can we please have that sting, Rabsy? Oh.
Well, I'll go.
Yeah, we've got big calls coming up. Anyone want to preview some of those coming up?
After 12, Emma, I gonna
after 11
you,
or after 12?
After, excuse me, after 11, my apologies. After 11, I'm going to tell you which three finals regulars won't be playing in September this year. Bit of a shock. Ooh. A big shock. In fact, there's going to be three of them. I tell you what, these players are going to be booking their first September holiday in a long time. And also, Joey and Em, news has come through just now that a senior key defender, a very good player, has just done his knee out for the season. I'll give you all the details in the next hour, Em.
Oh, that's scary.
Yep.
Oh, don't. Now I'm fretting. Do I have something to worry about as an Essendon fan? Does it kill to have something? Oh, okay.
No.
You're not going to tell me.
No, not yet.
Also, after 11, the NRL season kicks off this week, but the sport has been drowning in controversy over the last couple of weeks. Can it be fixed? We're going to preview Melbourne's chances with the Storm's Christian Welsh. Plus, there's a big day at Flemington to take a look at. I was going to say we'll attempt to find you a winner.
We will find a winner.
That's a big call in itself.
That's a big call.
Hey, Pikey's here in Melbourne today, racing royalty. We're going to get right behind him.
Now, before the 11 o'clock news, Jay-Z, you did tease some really massive AFL injury news.
Yeah, devastating news for the Gold Coast Suns, Emma. Rory Thompson, the gun backman, has suffered a torn ACL ligament. He will miss the full season, and that is a shocking blow for the Suns, who already lost Steve May, Joey, the star fullback, in the trade period to Melbourne. And the man who was really penciled in to step up and take that role won't be there for the full year. Now, they did go and get Sam Collins, the mature age defender from VFL, so I expect him to play, you know, could play up to 20 games this season. And they've
what
also
about
got
Ben King?
Yes, he's the other man who is in.
The other King, Max King's brother.
Yes. They took him, what, pick six last year. So he will also be in the frame for some early season action. They got Sam Day there as well. They play St Kilda round one, Gold Coast, and he is one man they could absolutely not afford to lose, and he's out for the year.
Yeah, that's a shame for the Gold Coast Suns. We know where their list is at the moment, and they're already light on for talent and experience, and yep. Rory Thompson fits that bill in both cases. So that's disappointing for Stewie Jew, but in some ways it gives opportunity now. They're forced to play some more young talent, maybe fast-track Ben King with 15, 20 games, Sam Collins. So, yeah, devastating news for Rory Thompson and the Gold Coast Suns.
To say that, you know, a big knee injury ahead of, you know, the season proper, it's devastating. But it feels like there's been a lower rate of really big preseason JLT injuries maybe this year. Is that that's probably a big call, but is that probably fair?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think most clubs have been unscathed so far.
Really, there hasn't been too many big stories to come out of JLT.
Which is good news. All the info, of course, on triplem.com.au on that story.
Which is great, because the practice matches are a necessary evil. Nobody wants to really play practice matches, but everyone knows you need to get a couple of games under your belt, and it is really a case, particularly if you're a bit of an older player, just get through and don't get hurt is where you're at with it all.
What gear did you play in, Joey? What gear did you play in?
When you're playing JLT?
Second or third gear. Depends on where you're at. You're just going to try and get through and not get hurt and be ready for round one, really.
Yeah. Hey, a reminder, we are on air till 12:30 today due to popular demand. We're saying that. It's not really the case. Because then we will go straight to our JLT coverage. Port Adelaide taking on North Melbourne at Alton Oval. The call team including Brenton Yates, Dale Ewis, Dom Cassisi, and Rhett Biglands. And then tonight, Joey, you are you're a busy man at Marvel Stadium, also covering the AFLW from 7 o'clock, the Western Bulldogs up against Melbourne.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
A lot of guys and gals are excited about the AFL season proper starting very shortly, in less than 2 weeks, but no more so than two little friends of mine, Max and Oscar Chadwick. They are massive footy fans. They're 5 and 3. And typically they go for the Adelaide Crows. Dad's a massive Crows fan. My husband also being from Adelaide. A lot of our friends are big on the Adelaide Crows. But as a distraction tool over the summer break, you know, tying them over until the footy season starts and they can start watching all the games on TV, their mum and dad have had a brilliant idea. Instead of Shaun the Sheep and Peppa Pig and all those kind of things on YouTube, they have found a YouTube clip which has every single AFL club song on it. They have, in downtimes, put the kids in front of the iPad to watch this clip. And as a result, and I'm not joking you, this 5-year-old and this 3-year-old have learnt every single AFL club song by heart. Now, during the week, I got my friend Mia, their mum, to record them. So taking note, they can't read lyrics.
Yep.
Take a listen.
Impressive. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. 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 Blah, if I'm Tiger, yellow and black. If I'm Tiger, black. And black. And green. Stop. And up. And hit the bend up. That's not how you sing it. And it's the famous older blue.
goal.
Well done. Very, very impressive. You know what I most like about that though? Is how long would all the club 18 club songs go for? That can entertain the kids
for 45 minutes.
45 minutes. You know why? Because Baby Shark, that everyone knows, yes. Baby Shark only goes for 3 minutes, and then you have to hit repeat, smart. And the kids sing Baby Shark again. And how many times can you hear Baby Shark? So at least that's it. I like that. That's very
how
clever.
Brilliant is it? That's like awesome. Hats off to Mia and Sam who have coached the kids to do that. It's a great party trick.
Yep.
How many would you know, do you reckon? I mean, the classic ones, you know, the Carlton song and the Richmond song are, you know, kind of ingrained in you as a child. But
we did something similar recently, and I actually realised that I was singing the wrong line in the Carlton theme song, like where I kept singing it to my kids, and my wife Jane actually said to me, "You know, you're singing that wrong." And I was like, felt deeply embarrassed that being an AFL reporter that I'd got the wrong sort of Carlton theme song line. So what did I say? I can't remember now. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't even just sing it, but I really stuffed it up. So they've corrected me.
You do this with your son, though? Is this right, to get him to bed?
It was interesting that you played this, Emma, because I've started early with Noah, but with learning the St Kilda theme song. Oh, when the Saints go marching.
Oh, so gentle.
It's a gentle. It puts him to sleep. It's a song to when he was newborn to cradle him to sleep. But the reason why I sang the Saints song is because my nursery rhyme recitals weren't very good. I sort of know the starts and bits and pieces to a lot of nursery rhymes, but I didn't know the full sort of verses to sing the song. Yep. So one night I was trying to cradle Noah to sleep, and I ran out of ideas, so I just started singing "Oh, and the Saints," and it worked. So then, as you know, and Emma, you'll find out, when you find something that works with a baby, you just keep going back to the well, don't you, Jay?
You do.
So for about the next 2 weeks, "Oh, and the Saints," and it cradles him to sleep. So I've created a monster. So I now, luckily, he's now 8 months old. He can go to sleep pretty quickly. But I, for a long time, sang him the Saints theme song to get him to sleep. So I've taught him early.
Surprised that's been giving him sweet dreams and not nightmares.
No, he doesn't know what he's experienced. He hasn't experienced being a Saints supporter yet. He doesn't know what to come.
Will you genuinely give him the choice, little Noah, or do you just fully expecting that he's a St Kilda fan?
Are
you brainwashing him?
Because I won't brainwash him. Yeah. No, I presume that he
has he got any choice?
I think he does. Okay. I think
does he?
Well, I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think so.
Because I think you're going to take him to St Kilda games as a past player. I'll be able to hopefully get into the rooms every now and then and do all those sorts of things. So I presume he'll go down that path of being a St Kilda supporter.
What about when he gives you the feedback that the Saints are crap?
Hopefully, by the time he's old enough, the Saints are back up the top of the ladder and winning premierships, and then he'll be a Saints supporter for life.
Yeah, we're not having battles about how we're going to parent this child that is going to arrive in a couple of months. We're debating whether they're an Essendon supporter or an Adelaide Crows supporter. Tough times in
Who's
my house.
Win it?
I always win, but no, I think Charlie probably will get the wood there. But come on.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Well, the NRL returns this week. They're a week earlier than the AFL with Melbourne hosting their first ever season opener. The Storm up against the Broncos on Thursday night at Amy Park. And it is great to have one of their forwards, Christian Welsh, on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, guys.
Much like any football code, but particularly the NRL at the moment, it's good to be getting back on the field, if you get the drift of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we've had a bit of a tough off season. It's been a really hard one, for our code. So I suppose, we're all really looking forward to Thursday night to get out there at Amy Park and play a home game against, one of the great clubs in the Brisbane Broncos. And, without the AFL season starting, it gives a good chance for, a lot of our members to get to our games. But a lot of our members and fans are, I suppose, support an AFL team and then have the Storm as their second team. So it's a really good opportunity for our club.
Yeah, you're spot on, Christian. Everyone can get down Thursday night and see the Storm in action. You are a super side, but it must be great to have that respect from the NRL that the Melbourne Storm, for the first time in their history, are actually going to play in a season opener. So all the eyeballs are going to be watching you first up. So big game to try and get a win on the board early.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think it's a good initiative by the NRL, I think. The NRL season started a couple of weeks earlier than the AFL the last couple of years. So, and we've played some away games, which I find a bit confusing. So it's a really good opportunity for us to play at Amy Park with a bit of clear water in the sporting landscape. So, we're really excited to get out there and particularly against a club like the Broncos who are, well-supported and they always get a lot of fans who travel down to Melbourne for it.
Christian, I imagine most players in the off-season might want to go to the beach, go to Bali, just sort of take it easy and unwind. Am I right in thinking that you spent your off-season going to Harvard doing some sort of negotiating course or high-end business, Sheen? Did you go to Harvard?
Yeah, I booked a trip in to go to Harvard and do a bit of off-season, a bit of development. I graduated with my commerce degree the year before, so I just saw it as a good opportunity, and the NRL were really supportive of me going over there into Boston, and yeah, did a negotiations course. So we had some a really diverse group of people who attended from within the US and European, and we had banking executives, a guy owned a flour mill in Greece, and an army general. So, and then we had a sprinkling of rugby league players. So it was a really interesting short course.
Yeah, if you're wondering who this rugby league playing Harvard going gem of a guy on the phone right now, it's Christian Welsh from the Melbourne Storm who joins us right now. You had a good year last year yourself, Christian, getting close to playing Origin and getting to a grand final. Who do you see as the team to beat in 2019? Is it still the Sydney Roosters?
Yeah, I think the Sydney Roosters have, they've had a great team last year, and I think they're probably even better this year with some of their recruitment. And actually, one of our head assistant coaches has moved to the Sydney Roosters, Adam O'Brien, who's really highly regarded, certainly at our club. So I think he's going to make them an even stronger team. And although I think it's one of those years where, a lot of teams will see a big improvement, I think. The team like the Brisbane Broncos, such a young side, but a lot of talent, I think they'll be right up there as well.
Now, Christian, obviously you were born in Sydney and then you played a lot of your junior years up in Townsville. You've been in Melbourne for a few years now, and anyone who moves down to Melbourne has got to adopt an AFL team, whether you like it or not. Have you adopted an AFL team? Do you get into the footy? I know Cam Smith's a big AFL Nuffy. Has he been teaching you the ropes on the AFL?
Yeah, I love my AFL. I think it's quite an analytical and a bit of a stressful environment at the Storm, where we seem to review a lot of footy, and it's actually really hard to passively sit there and enjoy a game of footy. So I actually really enjoy watching Aussie Rules instead of rugby league games on weekends. Yep. So, I moved here about 7 years ago, so no one can accuse me of getting on the bandwagon, but I got on the Demons.
So, really
pleased to see how they went last year, getting to that prelim final, and I think they've recruited well for this season ahead.
Christian, we're talking earlier about renting out your house for a B&B and whether you do it, and Joey sort of offering up his digs, flashy digs, I should say, in Albert Park to Dan Ricciardo's family. Am I also right in thinking that you are such a good bloke? You actually open the doors of your own home to stage a bit of a barbecue get-together for Melbourne Storm fans. Like, are you that good a guy? Because our phone board is lighting up with women basically wanting to marry you.
We had a bit of a Camp Quality fundraiser for the charity, and had some really generous Storm fans who really got behind the idea, and we organised a few players to come out, and we had a bit of an informal barbecue, because, at times it's really hard to have, a deep connection with your fans. After a game, you give some high fives, take some photos, but it's hard to really connect. So I think it was a good opportunity. I think it was a bit of a win-win. We raised over $10,000 for Camp Quality, and at the same time, I think we had about 20-30 fans who got a bit of an intimate night with a few of the Storm players. We got Cameron Munster and a few other guys who came out.
If you ever want an advertisement of why the Melbourne Storm have been so successful, 100%. I keep reading about all these drongos up in New South Wales and Queensland. That is the good guy factor
exactly
on show
what
for
I
the
just
Storm.
Wrote there. Great ambassador for the NRL. See, they're not all total. Great ambassadors for the NRL. No, absolutely.
Christian, what a gem you are. Yes. Thank you for joining us on Dead Set Legends. We'd love to have a chat to you again during the season, and wishing the Storm all the best as you head into the opener against the Broncos at Amy Park on Thursday night, mate.
That'd be great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too, mate. Well done.
What a lovely guy.
I think that just really shocked us. What a just a gentleman Christian Welsh actually was. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but we do wish the Storm all the best in the season ahead.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
It's been a debate that's been raging for the last couple of years in the AFL, whether the grand final should remain at the traditional 2:30 time slot on the Saturday, or if it should move to a twilight game. It's been raised again this week. It's on the front page of the paper today, and we understand there will be a decision made for 2019 on Thursday of this week. Just some comments from Commission member Richard Goiter this morning in today's Herald Sun. He says, while we're all traditionalists, a twilight grand final with the right entertainment would be amazing. We asked the club captains last year, and the majority of them said they'd love a twilight grand final. Everything has to line up. You have to take the fans with you, and there has to be a good reason to do it. But at the right time and for the right reasons, I think we should give it a go. Your judgment, boys.
My view is I think it's inevitable that we're going to have a Twilight Grand Final. And in all honesty, I think we should just go straight to a Night Grand Final, because that's what they're trying to condition us to do as fans, is it's going to be a Night Grand Final. They're going to do it slowly because they don't want to upset the traditionalists. But my view is let's just get it straight to a Night Grand Final. All the best events in the world are all at night. Jay, which is the best game of the week in AFL football?
Yeah, it is the Friday night game.
Everyone's used to it. Grand final, night game. You get the great spectacle. You get the build up. You get the entertainment. You get the most eyeballs watching. I just think it's inevitable.
Just give us a call 133353 if you have an alternative view to Joey, whether you think it should be a day grand final this year or a twilight one. What do you think,
Joey? You've misread it. If they're going to trial it, it should be a twilight grand final, not a night grand final. I think the 7:10 p.m. slide is too late for the showpiece game. I still think with a twilight game, you can still get that nighttime finish. You can get some fireworks. You can get a big act at halftime. You'll still have that spectacular, you know, nighttime backdrop. And I think a twilight grand final is definitely worth trying, because we've had this debate for eons, haven't we? Why not just give it a go and see whether we like it or not for a year? But I think probably 7 o'clock for the kids and that, and for all the fans who might have 20 beers in the lead up. Nighttime is maybe too late, but I think a twilight, a 4 o'clock start or something like that, definitely worth having a go at. What I think the AFL want is a real act, like a real rock star act, whether it's the Foo Fighters or someone huge, to make sure that when they do go for that twilight game, that it is an absolute huge hit. They can't make that move and then fall flat from an
entertainment. So do you think then if they're going to go twilight this year, they've got to have an act already, knowing in the back of their mind to agree to it, to make it worthwhile to have a nighttime act? You don't think they'll go to a twilight or night grand final if they are going to bring Meatloaf back out and do that? They're going to have to have someone
Darryl
ready to
Braithwaite,
go.
We love him, but he's not going to cut the mustard. Yeah. It's fair to
they
say.
Need
like we need
big.
You need a Foo Fighters type or Pink or something like that, because the NRL do it so well. I think if the AFL does go over that nighttime option, it's got to be absolute rock stars.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Emma. NRL grand finals at night time. That seems to be working for the NRL. It's been a great initiative. I don't understand why in the AFL we're so caught up with tradition, why we think we're past all that. And if you want to go one step further, and I will, I think we've got to scrap the bounce. I think the bounce has got to get scrapped.
Right.
I've seen so many games in the JLT where they've had to recall the centre bounce because of a bad bounce.
Yep.
It's embarrassing.
Yep.
And I don't think anyone will care if it's thrown up and we just get the game going. I think it's fine to throw it up. It's more embarrassing when I see a bounce, the umpire goes, oh, sorry, guys, everyone go back to their position and I'll go again, which I've seen a lot of in the JLT. So, but your take, Emma, on night grand finals?
Well, so the NRL grand final is on a Sunday.
Yep.
A Sunday night, which leads back into the public holiday on the Monday in New South Wales, so you can have off and then go back to work on the Tuesday. It works for some reason. I always think that NRL looks better under lights. I don't know why. I can't explain that. It just looks better at nighttime. The same could be said for the AFL in some circumstances. Having said that, there's nothing better than heading to, you know, a Saturday or Sunday game in the afternoon and having a couple of beers in the sunshine, you know, the Melbourne winter sunshine.
Yep.
But if it was a night grand final, the Saturday night, like, I know you don't want to mess with tradition too much, but is there something about, like, Friday night's just a little bit sexier and so is Sunday? Do you know what I mean?
They need the 7-day break, don't they, between the prelim.
But
the prelims are played at night. Which we all love.
Thank you.
So, but I just from a playing perspective, right?
Yeah.
There's this argument that maybe the quality of the game mightn't be as good because it could be dewy, you know, at nighttime. God. Did you find it harder playing at night from that perspective?
No.
It's
harder at nighttime in the middle of winter at the MCG. But by September, the end of September, the weather should be nicer.
Yeah.
You know, whether if it's going to be wet conditions, it's going to rain during the day or be slippery at night. I think that time of the year, it should be fine. And you'll get a great game and it's a great spectacle.
Your finger is on the pulse. What do you think the verdict will be come Thursday? Because finally, we're going to have an actual judgment on this before the season starts, which is good news.
Yeah. Oh, look, gee, gut feel. It's so hard to read because I think they want to go there. We don't know whether they've got it a big enough hook to land it on. So I think maybe they'll be conservative still for the next year or two and keep it as day. But I think within the next 5 years, we will see a twilight grand final.
That's a huge call.
I'm just trying to give you the right one, Joey.
Within the next 5 years.
Yeah, we'll talk about
chili peppers. Imagine chili peppers is
next, Jay. Oh, you're still frothing. You went last week.
Stuff the game. I'll just go along for
that. Yeah, that's what would happen.
talking sport, or actually only talking footy for the next 25 minutes, which is exciting stuff. We have got our big predictions for the season. Premier, Rising Star, Wooden Spooners, Brownlow medalist, Coleman medalists, who will jump into the eight, who will miss the top eight, but also you two have a couple of big calls. Now, how big are we talking?
Well, I'm hoping Jay's is big. The journalist in me says the big headline grabber. It'd want to be, we want something big. We don't just want a prediction that everybody else can make. We want something big. So I think mine's pretty big. I think mine will grab headlines. And I'm hoping Jay's as well. We don't know each other's, but we're going to see, because looking forward to it. We're going to make some big calls. And then we can even make, off the back of some other people's predictions, if we disagree, we can maybe have a little side bet, like Jay and I did last year.
Yep.
We had a bit of a Brownlow bet. Who'd poll more votes out of Paddy Cripps and Andrew Gaff?
Yeah, well,
okay. And I got a nice couple of bottles of red off the back of it, Emma.
Emma.
So I think maybe we can have our own little wagers on the back of some of the predictions
just
coming up.
No nudity, because both of you have already claimed on this show, if this doesn't happen, I'll strip off.
I'll change that. I'll take that back.
And I've already tick that box that I said it about, so I'm okay. But my man, to be fair, Joey, it took an unprecedented moment of madness from Andrew Gaff.
This is last year's Brownlow.
Because he would have polled more votes than Cripps, but he tried to dick a bloke for the first time.
Well, that's all part of the Brownlow. You can't get suspended. Gaffey went and got himself suspended.
Unexpected.
You feel like this is really still irritating you.
Jay wants to beat me.
He wants to beat me.
We're going to put some wagers on this.
Yeah.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
We are laying it all on the line this morning with our 2019 AFL season predictions, and coming up, those big calls, which we've been teasing all morning. But let's get your take on the season ahead, boys. Let's start with who you think will be the 2019 Premier.
Well, before we start, we're going to say that if any of us get any of these ones actually right, it's a bottle of Penfolds. So if you get all six out of six right with your predictions, you get a nice six pack, half a dozen nice bottles of red. If you get one, we can cancel it off each other. So obviously, if I get three and you only get one, you can just give me two bottles and we'll call it that way. That's probably how
Joey's about to go real safe, isn't he?
Really?
He's hungry for that charade. What was our first one?
Let's go for Premiers.
Okay. See, this one, I do think Melbourne are the real deal this year, but I am going to say, because I don't want to just say the obvious with everything, my big one I think is a big chance at the Adelaide Crows. I think Adelaide Crows can bounce back and win
the
premiership.
My husband's just walked in the studio, by the way. He's
a big Crows. I think
he's a big Crows man. He's pumping his fist.
I think they've got the makings of being able to bounce back with the Crouch boys fit, Rory Sloan, Wayne Miller are stepping up in the midfield, Bryce Gibbs. I think the Crows are a big chance.
What was the stat last night? I think Miller had 28 touches for 100% efficiency.
Yeah, he's a star.
All they lack
is a bit of leg speed. And I think with Miller, Brody Smith back, and Seedsman Laird, I think they've got everything they need to win a premiership.
Right.
The Crows.
Lost Mitch McGovern.
They don't need Mitch McGovern. I'll tell you why when we talk about our rising star.
Oh, okay. Who's your Premier?
Look, I've gone for Melbourne. We've seen some fairy tales in the past couple of years, the AFL, with the Bulldogs winning and no one saw that coming. Richmond came from the clouds. Even West Coast weren't rated last year. I think Melbourne, even though they were the youngest team in last year's final series, I think they can salute longest premiership drought in the game, 1964, been a very long time. They also haven't had three All-Australians for decades. I think this is the year that Max Gawn, Brayshaw and Clayton Oliver can all become
okay, we didn't ask you about All-Australians. Let's keep it short.
Sorry, mate.
I'll say Adelaide then, just to go different to Jay with the Melbourne. So I'll say Adelaide. Emma, you?
I was going to say Melbourne. Yeah, I mean, I know that's safe, but I mean, it's not a big call yet. I can just make a prediction.
Exactly.
I think Melbourne to break that drought and to really make a lot of people in the red and blue happy.
And the new rules really favour that engine room. Just a closing comment, Joe. The new rules, it's all about how dominant they can be out the middle under the
60s. They are the best centre-bounce team.
I thought you meant the rules in here.
No, the best centre-bounce team.
Have I lost the plot? Okay, let's go with Rising Star.
Okay, it's not a 30-minute analysis, this one, Jay. So I've gone Darcy Fogarty at the Adelaide Crows.
We love
he's a star. He's a young Mark Ricciuto. I love him. And he's going to fill in Mitch McGovern's place. Don't worry about that. So Darcy Fogarty will win the Rising Star for the Crows.
He looks fit as well. He's lost a bit of the puppy fat this year.
How's Joey looking at the Charlie for validation every time he says something?
I haven't even met Charlie yet. We're bonding already.
I know. He loves you.
Yeah.
In the key forward stakes, I would have thought that Geelong's Asava Ratagalia would have been a better chance than your man Darcy Fogarty.
Okay.
But I think, like, it's captain obvious call, but you can't go past Sam Walsh. Mm-hmm. I think he's a couple of bucks with the bookies. I think he should be even shorter than that. He's absolutely cherry ripe. He's going to play 20 games and 400 disposals this year. year. Yep. Sam Walsh for me.
Okay, Wooden Spooners, who's going to finish down at the bottom?
Gold Coast. When the Saints.
Oh, you're going to go Saints Gold? Yeah. Are you really?
Oh, when the Saints.
I'll go Gold Coast. I'll take Gold Coast.
No, well, it has to be Gold Coast. But I don't think your boys are that far away.
All right. Okay, that's pretty straightforward.
Okay, what happens with the win then with the two bottles of red? Is it you share one or half
we're
bottles?
We're going to work this out. We'll work it out and how we do it. So you're going to go Gold Coast or St Kilda?
No, I'll go Gold Coast. But they won't be far off it. Gold Coast is $1, unfortunately.
Jeez, yeah, they are short.
Yeah. Brownlow medalist, who's going to be the best player in the league?
Oh, and that Fife is the best player in the league. Fife will win it. If he doesn't, again, I'm all over Adelaide. Matt Crouch is great value. He will have, he'll almost get as many possessions as Tom Mitchell did last year, and he could win the Brownlow.
Lee Montagna or Dom Pike?
I know.
We bring in Dom Pike.
I'm on the crow. I just think they'll win the flag. So if they're going to win the flag, they need to have Darcy Fogarty and Matty Crouch and these boys all to step
any
up.
Any weekend multi, you just throw in one of the Crouch brothers to have 25 or more Dutchets.
So who did you pick? I'm
going to go Nat Fife.
You are? Okay.
Nat Fife is my selection.
Okay, real shorty. Look, I'm going to just go, I'm going to ease in the betting market, and I think the man up there at GWS, if he was in Melbourne, he'd be an absolute superstar. Josh Kelly. Yep. He's got probably the best skills in the game. He's going to win so much football. Last year, he got that knee injury. I think GWS are going to be in the top eight. They're going to win games.
Do you have just a bottle of red head-to-head? Fife versus Kelly, most votes?
Yep.
Okay, we're on.
Okay, I'm going to actually take one here.
Yep, you're in.
I'm going to go with Maxi Gawn. Fourth last year, good equal call with your man, Paddy Cripps.
Yep.
You know, let's just hope the body can stay together, but we know that the D's are in for a big year. One more before we go to our big calls after the break. Who will jump into the eight for 2019 that wasn't there last year?
Yeah, now I'm unfortunately going to say Adelaide, Joey, because I do agree with you. They had a shocking year last year and still won 12 games. So clearly there's a great platform and a great nucleus. We rate Dom Pike as a coach. I'm not sure what happened last year, the camp singing the Richmond theme song on the bus. It all went a little bit eagly jiggly over there. But I think they'll be back and they'll be inside the top. In fact, I think they'll be in the top four.
There you go. Yeah. Adelaide Crows for me. Yep. They'll bounce back. They'll be top four and they'll be contending for a premiership.
Can I just pick Joey up on something, though, Emma? When you said Fifey, you know, now that you're a Fremantle employee... I just wanted there's some sort of insider trading going on here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've got some inside word. Nat Fife is a star.
He's really,
I've
really
got some
good
mail. He's really good. He takes a strong mark. He's good in the contest. Yeah. He's a ball magnet. He'll kick some. I've got some inside word on Fife. Yep. You've got it from me. Nat Fife's a good player.
Tell us something you don't know, you Muppets. Yeah. We've just done our big predictions for the 2019 season. Let's have a quick recap. Rapid fire. Premier, Joey.
Adelaide.
Melbourne.
I had Melbourne as well. Rising Star.
Darcy Fogarty from the Crows.
Sam Walsh Carlton.
Wooden Spooners.
Gold Coast.
Yep, so. Yeah.
Brownlow medalist.
Nat Fife.
Josh Kelly from GWS.
I had Maxi Gawn. Who'll jump into the eight?
Crows.
Adelaide.
And we didn't do the Coleman. Who's going to kick the most goals for the year?
Josh Kennedy at West Coast. If he's fully fit, he's still the best key forward in the comp.
Tom Lynch for mine, the new Richmond recruit. Why are you so off this call, Joey? Because if he played his career in Melbourne, we'd be raving about this bloke.
No, we wouldn't. I completely disagree. He's played eight seasons of football. He's had one good season out of eight.
I think there's
been a lot of hype around Tom Lynch. He's not young anymore, by the way. He's coming into his ninth season. He's a good player, absolutely. Don't get me wrong, but I think he's just a good player and he'll fit in beautifully to Richmond. But he's not a Coleman medal type.
He's interrupted pre-season with a knee issue. Yep. And John Brown says this guy can be the number one player in the competition.
That's what I'm saying. When? John, he's 25. He's nearly 26. At what age is he going to turn into?
At a good club, he's going to elevate his game another 50%.
You can agree to disagree on that.
Yeah,
one.
We can. Absolutely.
Let's do it. We've been teasing it all morning. It's time for... Who wants to go first?
Go on,
because
Jay.
I think there's can.
Oh, go, Jay.
I want to hear yours. Not since 2002, Joey and M, has there been a top eight final series that Geelong, Hawthorn, and Sydney have not featured in. And I think these three heavyweights, the three clubs who have dominated the game for the past 15 years, will all be booking their end of season holidays in September. No top eight for those three clubs.
I don't think anyone's got any of them in their top eight anyway. No one's got Hawthorn in their top eight. Yes, most people expect Sydney to slide out, and Geelong probably might sneak into eighth. The big call?
I think if we surveyed most footy fans out there, everyone would
wants
have
to do
those,
family feud in the AFL community.
Those three clubs would all be.
We surveyed the top 100 people, and the answers are.
Not since 2002. No Swans, Hawks, and Cats for mine. All on the downward curve a little bit. I mean,
Well, on that, who's in your eight then?
Yep, so I got Melbourne, Collingwood, Richmond, West Coast.
Yep.
Top four. Do we agree on that, Joey?
I've got Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond, West Coast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And in fifth spot, I got the Crows.
I got Collingwood.
Yeah, there you go. But you've
still
got
the same top five.
Adelaide, top five.
Yep.
Then I got in sixth and seventh, I got
Essendon and the Giants, both very talented. So we both agree on the top seven.
So we got the same
seven.
So
no one at the moment's got Geelong, Hawthorn, or Sydney in their top eight anyway.
It's the first time we've ever agreed on anything. This is extraordinary.
Who rounds out your eight then?
Well, this is the controversial one. I think they can get back in under Camperdown, Ken Hinckley. Port Adelaide is in my eight.
For me, the eight spot, Em, is a toss of the coin. I think there's five teams who could make it. I'm probably going to go Kangaroos. I think Kangaroos are playing a good style of footy. They've got the big recruits.
We have a bottle on that? Port versus Kangaroos most
it's
wins.
A lot of wine being thrown up
yes,
in this studio.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're playing the Savo as well.
Oh, yep.
Well,
Kangaroos they are.
Port. We'll get a good little view.
That will be
now it's time for my... And I thought you'd like this one. It's been a bit slow in the last couple of years with the coaching changes, but I've just had a look, and I think there are 7 to 8 AFL coaches that are coming into this season under the pump. And
if 7 or 8?
I think so. I think if you go through the list, if you're a footy
are
fan,
you
go
name
through.
Them?
I'm not going to name them. Okay, put it this way: the top five teams that we spoke about, Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond, West Coast, Collingwood, we all agree their coaches are pretty safe.
Safe as houses.
So that narrows it down a little bit. Sure. I think there will be a minimum of 3 coaching changes at the end of the by at some stage between round one and the grand final.
Right.
I don't know who they'll be. I just think there'll be 3 coaches that'll be from not at their club anymore. I think there'll be a little bit of a domino effect. I can just see some coaches leaving or maybe moving on from one club, ending up at another, and it'll start a bit of a domino effect. This is the year that there will be significant coaching changes at AFL
clubs.
Jay.
I'm going to have a
crack at
who they are.
I think you should
Splinters.
Name. I think you need to name.
I don't know who they're going to be.
Old Splinters, Joey Montagna. I'll tell you who they'll be.
Sitting on that fence.
I reckon it'll be St Kilda's Alan Richardson, and I think it'll be Carlton's Brennan Bolton, also under the blowtorch.
Can you do the noise again, though?
And then the third one, it might be. We haven't spoken about this, but I think John Worsfold has got a very talented
list.
You've
just got Essendon finishing sixth on the ladder.
I'm just saying,
how's he going to get the sack if they finish sixth?
If they don't make the top eight,
yeah, but that's the same for anyone. If someone doesn't make the top eight,
and that's what I'm saying. If these teams don't perform to where we think they should be, I think there are a lot of coaches that the heat will come on because they're at the stage of their careers where there is a bit of heat.
Expectations.
So
am I missing anyone there? Or
Chris Scott, Geelong? There could be a few others as well, but I think this is the year, and you'll love it as a journo.
Richo,
keep your eye on it.
Bolton.
There'll be a lot of coaches under pressure this year, and 3 of them won't be there at the end of the year.
We haven't touched about on this yet either, but I know your man Ross Lyon over in the West is under pressure to go up the ladder. I would not be surprised to see a Melbourne club like Carlton, because he's got great links, great friendship with Stephen Silvani. Just wonder whether Carlton could come in the frame in a year or two time for Ross.
Jeez, and we haven't even had the first bounce of the season. Hey, next weekend, Grand Prix weekend, but also the All-Star Mile, which we've been talking about at Flemington.
The NRL will
start on Thursday
the NBL
night.
Playoffs are still plenty of sport.
I know, and then we get into the season proper just after that in the AFL. Hey, thanks for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. We'll see you this time, 10 o'clock next weekend.